King Abimelech. From verses 22 to 34, we have a record of this account. Now, we can safely assume that this is the same king that Abraham encountered there at Gerar back in chapter 20. And I'd like to study this passage of Scripture, and I'd like for us to note some principles that will help us to live in harmony with one another. Principles of peace and harmony. That's our title this evening, How to Live in Peace and Harmony with One Another. Note there in Genesis chapter 21, please. Let's read verse 22 and 23, and then we'll pray. And it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God, that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. Let's bow for prayer. O God, it is truly wonderful to be a child of yours, and I pray this evening that you would help us to see the reality of that thought. Fill us now with your Holy Spirit, I pray. Teach us from your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we ask and pray. Amen. There are some biblical principles within this event that will help us to live together in harmony, whether it be in the home, whether it be in the church setting, even on the job, or on a personal level, one with another. Abimelech was aware of God's blessing upon Abraham, and he desired to make a peace treaty with him. And the Bible teaches us that this peace treaty takes place here in a place called Beersheba. For those that know the land of Israel, you will note as you move far north, it's lush and green and very fertile. But as you make your way down south, it just gets drier and drier and drier. And then there is literal desert or wilderness area. And Beersheba is far south. So they are in wilderness area, dry country. And Abraham desires to make this his permanent home within the land. And Abimelech is mindful of that, and the Bible teaches us that Abimelech, with his chief captain, with his military chief by the name of Phicol, the Bible teaches us in verse number 22, spoke to Abimelech and desired to work out a means of living together in harmony. He obviously understood the influence that Abraham had. And Abimelech has witnessed the hand of Abraham's God. So Abimelech is keen to live in harmony with Abraham. Now, Abimelech is not a God-fearing man. He has experienced the hand of God. He's not a God-fearing man, but he understands there is a God, and this God is the God of Abraham, and this Abraham seems to be comfortable in his part of the country, and Abimelech is saying, I want to be at peace with this Abraham, and his God. So he pulls aside his military chief and says, let's go and visit Abraham and let's have a little bit of a chat with him and see if we can come to some point of agreement. Now, Abimelech said to Abraham, listen, I've allowed you to live in the land. I haven't harassed you, and I would like for you to return that peacefulness towards me. And that is Abimelech's whole thesis in this meeting. And that was a reasonable request, desiring peace and harmony in the land that would benefit the generations to come. Note that in verse number 23, he made reference to his son and his son's sons, and he said, just like I have showed kindness to you, I want you to show kindness towards me and to the land that you are living in. So, a very reasonable request, don't you think? A very reasonable request. So as we study this passage of Scripture, I'd like for us to note some biblical principles that will help us to live in harmony with one another. It's interesting to me that Abimelech initiated this conversation, this potential agreement. And I like to think that you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, will do all that we can to be at peace one with another. In fact, the Lord Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. A mark of a child of God is a desire to be at peace with others. And the Apostle Paul, as he wrote to young Timothy in one of his epistles, he exhorts us that we should be at peace with one another as much as it's possible. So let's note some principles here that will help us to cultivate a spirit of peace and harmony, whether it be the home, whether it be a personal relationship that you have, those within your little world, whether it be within the church or the workplace, how can we be at peace one with another? How can we live in harmony one with another? I believe there are some principles within this passage of Scripture that will help us toward that end. The first principle I'd like for us to note is found there in verse number 22, where Abimelech said, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Abimelech acknowledges God's presence. Abimelech acknowledges God's presence. When we acknowledge the presence of God in our lives, it should cause us to be responsible, should it not? Accountable for our attitudes, for our words, and for our actions. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 21, the Bible clearly teaches us that God sees everything. Everything. There is nothing hid from the eyes of an all-knowing, all-present, all-powerful God. And when we understand that God sees every attitude, hears every word, examines every action, there will be a greater motivation for you and I to honor the Lord. To honor the Lord with our lives. And Abimelech acknowledges the presence of Abraham's God. He said, God is with you in all that you do. The acknowledgement of an omnipresent God, in other words, to acknowledge the fact that God is here. God is in my home. God is in my church. God is in this relationship. To acknowledge the very presence of God should encourage us to guard our attitudes, to guard our speech, to be mindful of our actions. And therefore, the byproduct can be peace and harmony. In Genesis 28:16, and Jacob awoke out of his sleep, and he said, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I knew it not." Beloved, God is listening to every conversation that we make. God hears every attitude that we entertain. God sees every action that we perform. And if we are mindful of the presence of God within our homes, and the presence of God within our church, and the presence of God within our relationships, no matter what that relationship is, it should cultivate a spirit of acknowledgement, accountable spirit, a responsible spirit that should propagate the principle of peace and harmony. The presence of God. Sometimes we let it go, let it loose, and it's because we've lost sight of the fact that God is present. You know, there are some things that you will do in the presence of others. There will be things that you will do in the absence of others that you will not do in their presence. Am I right or not? Yeah. Some of you carry on at home in such ways that you do not carry on at church. Yeah, amen. Why is that? Because we're mindful of a presence. If we would only be mindful of the presence of God 24/7, no matter whether we're at home, no matter we're in the church, no matter where we might be, we will conduct ourselves in a way that we know will be honorable before an Almighty God. See, Abimelech acknowledged the presence of God. When we ignore the fact that God is here, that can be very dangerous. The flesh can get out of control and work against peace and harmony. So how can we promote peace and harmony within our homes and within our church and within our personal relationships one with another? By acknowledging the presence of God. God is here. Look, if the Prime Minister walked in this evening, you would conduct yourself a certain way. If the Queen walked in this evening, you'd be conducting yourself a certain way, would you not? Well, God is here. His presence is with you as a child of God. Let's honour Him by our attitudes, by our speech, and by our actions. Acknowledging the presence of God, that God is in this place. If we acknowledge the presence of God in our homes, there can be peace and harmony. If we acknowledge the presence of God in our church, there can be peace and harmony. We acknowledge the presence of God in our relationships one with another. There can be peace and harmony. Abimelech worked that out. And he said to Abraham, God is with thee. The second principle is found in verse number 23. And the essence of this verse is that Abimelech asked for a commitment from Abraham. He asked for a commitment from Abraham to live in harmony and peace within the land. Note the wording here in verse number 23. Look at it with me. Now therefore swear, make an oath, make a commitment, a binding covenant commitment unto me here by God, that thou wilt not deal falsely with me. See, Abimelech has already had his fingers burnt. Okay, by Abraham. So he said, now you, Abraham, I know that God is with you, but deal truly with me, will you? I don't want to have another encounter with your God like that last time. So
So he asks for a commitment. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but according to the kindness that I have done unto thee, that thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. Commitment to most people is unknown waters. Many don't fully understand what commitment is all about. This is why there are so many schisms within families, within churches, within the workplace, within relationships with one another. There is an absence of commitment. See, Abimelech was smart enough and wise enough to work out, if we, Abraham, if you and I, Abraham, if we're going to coexist in this part of the country together, you need to make a commitment. I'm making a commitment to you. I'm asking you to make a commitment to me for the sake of the future generations. Now, Abimelech did not just suggest, now, Abraham, this might be a good idea that we commit ourselves to this. No, he said, I want you to swear. I want you to make an oath of commitment here by God. I want you to put your hand on the Bible literally and swear by God that you will be committed to peace and harmony with me in the land. Without commitment, we will not live harmoniously in our homes, nor in the church. And the greatest hope for peace and harmony lies within our level of commitment. And that's evident there in Acts chapter 4. If you turn to Acts chapter 4, please. Look at Acts chapter 4. Look at verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart, of one soul, neither said any of them that aught of the things which he possessed was his own, for they had all things common. And the Bible teaches us in the following verses that they gave witness of the power of God. And then as we read on, the Bible makes reference to sacrificial giving. Note there in verse 34 and 35, neither was there any among them that lacked, for as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them and brought the price of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need. So here we have an example of the early New Testament church being committed one to another and being prepared to share their resources one with another. May I submit to you, if we're to have peace and harmony within our relationships, then you and I need to make a commitment. It's not just a good idea. You know, sometimes we flippantly respond to one another by saying, oh, that's a good idea. Good idea. Good idea. No, no, no. Commitment. Commitment. This is not just a good idea. And that was Abimelech's attitude. Now, this is not just a good idea, Abraham. I want your commitment. I want you to make a commitment that we're going to live in harmony one with another. So that implies choice, does it not? That implies choice. There can be peace and harmony within your home, within our church, within your relationship, and it's totally up to you and I. But there must be commitment. If you are not committed to the home, to the church, to the marriage, to the relationship, there is little hope of peace and harmony. If there is a lack of commitment, there is little hope of peace and harmony. Note Abraham's response in verse number 24. And Abraham said, I will swear. So Abraham agrees to this request. The request for commitment, Abraham made a verbal commitment to work towards peace and harmony with Abimelech. To give your word within the biblical setting was of greater value than signing on a dotted line. He said, I swear. I give my commitment to you. I will swear. I vow I will make an oath to you, Abimelech, that we will work towards this end. And this is why this part of the country was called Beersheba. Sheba, to make an oath, to make a commitment. It's one thing to ask for commitment. We need to confess our submission to that commitment if there is to be peace and harmony within our relationships. For example, families, if the head of the home addresses the family unit and said, we need to make a commitment to peace and harmony within our home. It's one thing for us to say, well, yes, Dad, good idea, Dad, that's great. Good on you, Dad, good idea. No, that's not good enough. We need to say, I swear, I am committed, Dad, we're going to commit ourselves to peace and harmony within our home. So Abraham makes a verbal affirmation. Here it is. Tell me where to sign. I will sign with my lips towards commitment. So there is a commitment. So it's so critically important within our church and within our homes and within our relationship. We can all talk as much as we want about the need for commitment. If this relationship is to go ahead, we need to be committed. But eventually, each party needs to say, I'm committed. Simple but profound. See, Abimelech said, I want you to make a commitment. And Abimelech wasn't content with, oh, that's just a great idea, Abimelech. Abraham understood what Abimelech was calling for, and he said, I swear, I will make you a commitment right now that we're going to work towards peace and harmony. I love Genesis chapter 50, verse 5. Where Joseph said to Pharaoh, my father made me swear, saying, lo, I die in my grave which I have digged for me in the land of Canaan. There shalt thou bury me. Now therefore let me go up, I pray thee, and bury my father, and I will come again. See, Joseph made a commitment to Jacob, when you die, yes, Dad, you will have your wish. You will be buried not in Egypt. You will be buried in the land of Canaan. And Joseph went before Pharaoh and said, I made a commitment to my father. And I want to honor that commitment. And rest assured, I like to honor that commitment. I will honor that commitment, but I will come again. Ask for commitment and then make that commitment. That's so critically important. Look at verse number 25, please, back in Genesis 21. Another principle that's so critical to towards propagating peace and harmony. Look at verse 25. And Abraham reproved Abimelech. Just made a commitment that I will commit myself to peace and harmony. Now Abraham gets down to business. Look at this. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. So Abraham makes this agreement to the request of commitment. And with that, Abraham said to Abimelech, listen, if we're going to live in harmony one with another, We need to address a problem. There is an outstanding problem. And that problem is that once upon a time, we dug a well. I mean, water was scarce in that part of the country. And to have a well that supplied water was like striking gold. And Abraham said, I'd like to bring to your attention, Abimelech, that there is a problem here. Your servants at some point came in and took that well from us with violence. So we see here that Abraham had built a well, and Abimelech's servants in time past had come along and violently taken control over this well. And this was no doubt an unresolved conflict between them that needed to be addressed if there is to be peace and harmony. And as if Abraham is saying, okay, Abimelech, you want peace and harmony? You're crying out for peace and harmony? Well, let's deal with this problem here. This is outstanding. Your men have stolen our well, my well, that we had dug in time past. And let me submit to you and I this evening, if there is to be peace and harmony within our relationships, we need to make sure that we resolve anything that is there below the surface, unaddressed. Abraham was aware. Here's Abimelech saying, let's have peace and harmony. Let's have peace and harmony. Abraham, make a commitment to me. Peace and harmony, please. And Abraham said, sure. Once they made that commitment, Abraham said, okay, let's get down to business. We have some unresolved business here. We have an unresolved conflict here. Your men have stolen our well. And my friend, this evening, it's no different for you and I. If we want peace and harmony within our relationships, then we need to deal with unaddressed issues. As men, we are experts at just sweeping things under the carpet, hoping it'll just go away, it'll just run away like a cockroach. No, it won't. And you and I need to be careful. We want peace and harmony, but we're not willing to pay the price. And Abraham said, okay, you want peace and harmony? There's an issue here, and you need to be aware of this issue, and we need to deal with this issue. Your men have stolen our well. Ephesians 4:26 reads, be angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Matthew 5:25, agree with thine adversary quickly, whilst thou art in the way with him. So the Bible teaches us if we are aware of a unresolved conflict, then we need to deal with it. It will not go away. And if you want, listen to me, if you want peace and harmony in your home, if there's an elephant in the room, and you all know he's there, how can you miss an elephant? And it just amazes me that people continue to live out their lives and then it's so obvious there's an elephant in the room. We're tiptoeing around him. We know he's there, but nobody wants to say, hey, there's an elephant in here. We need to deal with the elephant. And that's why we struggle with peace and harmony within our homes, within our churches, and within our relationships, because we know there's an elephant. You know there's an elephant in the room. They know there's an elephant in the room, but we won't address the elephant. So obvious. How can you miss an elephant? Especially an elephant in a room. And Abraham said to Abimelech, listen to me, you want peace and harmony? There's an elephant in the room here and it needs to be dealt with. You want peace and harmony? Yes or no? You want peace and harmony in your home? You want peace and harmony within your relationships? Do you want peace and harmony within your church family? Deal with the elephant. Stop pretending that he's not there. It's obvious there's an elephant in the room. Deal with the elephant. Look at verse 26. Abimelech said, I wot not who hath done this thing. Neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it but today. Abimelech said to Abraham, I know nothing about this incident until now. Now my submission to you is that we have no reason to question that. Why would we question that? And as you've no doubt learnt in your life stage classes, those that have been studying living by the word, if the plain sense makes sense, seek no other sense. So plainly reads Abimelech, you know, he doesn't necessarily know everything. He said, Abraham, I am not aware of this until now. So we'll just take that at face value. And I'd like to think, because Abimelech has tasted the hand of an almighty God before, that he is humbled and he's not going to try and be dishonest. And we would assume that Abimelech is speaking honestly. There needs to be honesty within our relationships if there is to be peace and harmony. To lie, to deny, to excuse does not cultivate a spirit of peace and harmony. Ephesians 4:25 reads, listen carefully, wherefore putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor. If honesty does not prevail, if commitment does not prevail, there will not be peace and harmony. Abimelech said to Abraham, Abraham, I know nothing until today of what you're referring to. And we move on in verses 27 to 31 with that. I believe that Abraham takes Abimelech at face value. Look at verse 27. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech. And both of them made a covenant. So Abimelech affirms, makes an affirmation of his commitment by giving Abimelech sheep and oxen, the Bible teaches us. And with that he makes a covenant, he makes a contract with him to work towards peace and harmony. But also note then verse 28, and Abraham set seven ewe lambs or female lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these seven ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? So why, Abraham, have you set these seven female lambs aside? Note Abraham's response, verse 30. And he said, for these seven few lambs shall thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. So Abraham said, I'm giving you a gift of sheep and oxen. And with this, I'm making a covenant with you, Abimelech, to live in peace and harmony. But also, I have seven female lambs, the best of the best. And these are given to you, Abimelech, as a witness before God and before you, that we have dug that well belongs to us. So we see within all of this some wonderful principles, but one outstanding principle that I'd like to stress. If we're to have peace and harmony, and that is the principle of sacrificial giving. Abraham gave sacrificially to clearly reflect his intention and his commitment towards peace and harmony. Peace and harmony won't just appear. You can't buy it in a box, in a kit form. It doesn't just blow in from nowhere. No, it is a choice. And when the peace of God reigns in your heart and my heart as a child of God, we can live at peace one with another. Because blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. But if we're to have peace and harmony within our homes, within our church, within our relationship, you'll need to be prepared to sacrifice, to give of some oxen and some sheep and of some lambs to prove your commitment. Do you want peace and harmony within your home, yes or no? Then you need to sacrifice. You need to do your part to help and promote peace and harmony within the home. You want peace and home within your personal relationships. Well, it's not just going to happen. It's going to cost you. You want peace and harmony within the church. It's going to cost you. And with these gifts given, this place was called Beersheba. Beer, as in B-E-R, well. Beersheba, well of oath. The well of oath. This well was once a source of conflict between Abimelech and Abraham, but now it's a point of commitment. Therefore, the area was called Beersheba. Today, Beersheba. Still there. And Lord willing, if we go to Israel next time, we're going to visit Beersheba, the country of Abraham. Sacrifice. Look at verse 34 and 35 in closing. And Abraham planted a grove or a tree in Beersheba and called thereon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. So Abraham chose to put his roots down there in Beersheba. The grove there is in reference to the planting of a tree. Now think about it for a moment. That is an indication that Abraham is serious about putting his roots down and making Beersheba his home. You don't just plant a tree and move on. Within the biblical setting, it's not what you did. If you planted to settle somewhere, what you would do, you would plant trees. And the Jewish people, even to this very day, they have tree planting days. They plant trees to say, this is our land and we're not going anywhere, we're here to stay. And when Abraham planted a tree, he said, I'm not going anywhere, I'm here to stay. I'm going to make a commitment, I'm going to put my roots down, this will be home. Beersheba will be my home. Principle of permanence. The principle of, I'm committed, I'm here to stay. You want peace and harmony in your home? Yes or no? Be committed. You want peace and harmony within your church? Plant your tree down. I'm here to stay. This is not going to be a fly-by-night experience. I'm not going to hang around here at Metro for a year, then go down the road and join so-and-so, and then after a year go and join so-and-so. No, plant your tree and say, this is where God has me. And that's what Abraham was. When he planted that tree, he said, this is home. And I'm going to prove that. I'm going to plant a tree here, and I'm going to build an altar and worship my God. That will promote peace and harmony. When you and I walk with God and we reflect by our actions that we are committed with a spirit of permanence, there will be peace and harmony. I'm here for the long haul. I'm going to plant my tree here. I'm not going anywhere. This is home. There'll be peace and harmony. It's such a lack today, is it not? Peace and harmony in the world. You know why? People are just not committed. They're not interested in planting their trees. They just want to be moving, hip-hopping around. Live in this house for 2 years and sell up and try to make some money and move over here for 4 years and sell up and make some money. How vain. Playing physical monopoly. Grow up. Put your roots down. Work out where God has you. Plant your tree. And when you plant your tree, trees don't grow overnight. They take a long time to mature. Talk to me. Yeah, they take a long time to grow and mature and bear fruit. That's why they reflect permanence. That's why within the biblical setting, if you were planning on staying, you would plant trees. Just say, I'm staying here by the grace of God. And I'm going to see these trees grow and grow and blossom and bear fruit. I'm hanging around. Peace and harmony. And he builds an altar. He walks with God. You want peace and harmony within your relationships? Walk with God. So there are some principles for you this evening that will help, I think, to build peace and harmony. Acknowledge the presence of God, number one. Ask for commitment, number two. Make that commitment, number three. Address any problems. If there's an elephant in the room, don't ignore him, deal with him. Be honest. Give sacrificially towards the goal of peace and harmony. And then plant a tree. Make that commitment. So I'm here to stay till death do us part. For better, for worse, richer, for poorer, for sickness and in health. I said that to my beloved wife 30 years ago by the grace of God. We're still going. On that day, March 1987, the 14th, long time ago, I planted a tree and I said, we're here to stay. This is permanent. That's what Abraham did. He said, Beersheba, this is where we're going to live. We're going to plant a tree, make a commitment, and walk with God. That'll help peace and harmony within each of our relationships. And all of God's people said, let's pray.